Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory at the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a fabulous service department. This is one-stop vehicle shopping. They back it all up, routine to the difficult. They can handle it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Philly's looking to take three out of four from the D-backs, lead it 2-0 over Arizona. At Chase Field in the top of the second, Bryson Stott has homered in that game for the Phillies. It was a solo shot hit by Bryson Stott. So, yeah. Yes, Stott's who's been a guest on this show, by the way. What's he hitting? Stott's hitting what? He's hitting over 300, right? 302. Wow. It's kind of like what Volpe should be. All right, so we'll come back. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
Ground ball towards short. They're going to come home. They get the force out there. They throw to first. Not in time. The throw gets away. And the Astros are going to win. Abreu presses the plate. The throw got away from Chavis at first. Jamie Martinez is claiming interference on Myers.
And watch the base runner, Jake Myers. He's on the inside and eventually veers back to that bag as it ricochets off the helmet on top of the bag for the game-winning error.
Familiar play in a familiar location.
There it is, right there. Take a good look at it. Is that on the line? I don't think so. I'm over this play. Seriously. They need to fix the rule. If this is what the umpires see, that he's running down the line, I'm tired of it. Fix it. We lost the game and he had nothing to say about it because he can't make the right call. Brutal.
What was his explanation to you as you went out there?
He said he saw him run down the line. So I said, we lost the game because you made the wrong call.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, and to be honest with you, every rule I see that they have put in, that, not the shifting, I shouldn't say every rule, but the reason there is a pitch clock, it is easy to say, well, the players abused it. No. The reason there is a pitch clock because your umpires didn't enforce the rules before. Right? This is another one. How many times do we see players loosey-goosey going down first base and they're not in the baseline? They're out. Okay? They got to do a better job enforcing the rules. The rules are there for a reason. They're allowed to get away with sloppy stuff out there. You know, and Davey Martinez is not incorrect. He is not incorrect. And one of the reasons we have the pitch clock is not because of the players. I told the players. The rules weren't being enforced by the umpires. There were rules already in place with this stuff. And they could have enforced it years ago when they finally had to come to this point to do this. And that's the reason why. And I said that. How many times have I said over the years, like, the umpires are the ones that have to enforce the rules, right? And they're not enforcing it. And everybody's blaming the players. Well, the players are just doing what they're allowed to get away with. And that's another example there that, you know, I just kind of loosey-goosey, like, you know, like the whole world's my baseline. They've been allowed to get away with it. You're running out of the baseline, you're out of the baseline, you're out. All right. That's our play-by-play call. I thought you were going to do the steal a home. I thought that was, like,
if it would have resulted in the win, maybe, but...
Oh. I mean, if you hadn't done it, you would have lost 4-2. All right, so...
There you go.
Boy, a lot of sympathy for Oakland. Rob Manfred, I feel sorry for A's fans. Really, Rob? Great effort. Great effort on your part. You got what you wanted. You wanted a team in Las Vegas. You got it.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
He needs to just stop talking. I mean, seriously. He just needs to stop talking. From calling the World Series trophy just a piece of metal or whatever that comment was to saying he feels bad for Oakland fans. Please, stop.
And Bryce Harper, who's from Las Vegas, and as we all know, Bryson Stott is as well, because we talked about that when he was on the show. Harper says, I feel awful for Oakland. He said, to me, the A's should be in Oakland.
Yeah, they both didn't mince words when they were asked about that.
Yeah, same thing with Stott said quite straight out. He says, you have people in town liking the Dodgers and the Angels and the Padres and the Diamondbacks. It will take a few generations before they have real fandom in baseball in Las Vegas. I'm sure they'll sell tickets for visiting teams, which is probably all they care about. And that is the problem with some of the expansion teams. The expansion teams, you see with Tampa Bay, and you see it with Arizona, because Florida and Arizona are two highly transplanted areas. If they were to put a team in Portland and put a team in Nashville, it wouldn't be as much, to be frank with you. But in Florida and in Arizona, that's a big problem. That is a big problem. Let's face it. I mean, Matt, you're living down in Florida. You'd go to the Tampa Bay game to see the Yankees. You wouldn't go to a Tampa Bay game to see Tampa Bay play.
Probably not, or unless there's I'm happen to be in town and they happen to have like a good matchup, like they're playing the Red Sox or somebody like that, then I would go. But yeah, I'm not going for them necessarily.
Right. And that's that's the problem they have. I bet there are a lot of Phillies fans at today's game. In Phoenix.
Oh yeah, I mean when the Eagles played in Arizona, for the regular season game against the Cardinals and of course the Super Bowl, they took over State Farm Stadium.
They didn't make much of a difference in the Super Bowl.
Well, I guess more for the regular season they took over, but a lot of fans traveled out there regardless.
Didn't make a lot of difference with their noise. The only time I really heard the Eagles fans was when they booed Dak Prescott, who was Man of the Year for charitable work.
Not the finest moment, but,
Add it to the list. All right. We have not gotten to your rants of the day.
Well, actually, this issue with the Nationals in Houston was one of them because, I mean, it's just continuing incompetency with the umpires. Now, I have to clarify this for me because I can't remember off the top of my head if the Nationals could have challenged that.
I don't think you can challenge that.
Okay.
Not a challengeable play.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think so either, but I was just making sure I wasn't missing something.
Right.
But, I mean, you see in the photo that Davey Martinez had, and even watching it live on TV, he was clearly on the infield grass. He clearly was.
Right.
I mean, it was just for half a second, but he clearly was, and even so, you can see it clear as day live watching the play, how he had to veer back in, and even the... And that was the Astros broadcast that we had on there for the play-by-play call. They knew that.
It was Todd Callis.
Exactly. Yeah, the great Todd Callis.
Yep.
I mean, that's embarrassing. And I should say this, too. If Major League Baseball ends up fining Davey Martinez for his comments afterwards, they should be ashamed of themselves as well. If there, and this goes for all sports leagues, if there is a blatantly missed call that happens like that at the end of the game or affects the game, whatever the case may be, You should. The coaches and players should be able to sound off on that. I'm sorry. They should not be fined for that. When you and I and everybody else watching that game knows how bad that call was and what it resulted in. He should not be fined for that.
Well, if he is, I wouldn't pay it.
Absolutely. There's too much, as I've said before, there is too much entitlement for umpires in Major League Baseball.
Well, when you are unionized, you have more protections built in. And that's one of the reasons why, like, I've been critical of umpires of not, like I said, one foot in the box, look down, get back in. Go ahead, pitch. I don't care if he's ready, pitch. But he's out of the box, pitch. Right? Guess what? You're going to get your backside back in the box, aren't you? Right? You take too much time on the mound, boom. Okay, the rule was already in place. I saw Juan Marichal get called for a time violation once. Saw it. Was watching the game when it happened. I went, geez, okay. Learned something there. But this is a long time ago. The rule's there. All they're doing is enforcing it. I mean, and now people are complaining, well, they're going overboard with it. They're not going overboard with it. They're actually trying to do what they're supposed to be doing. Make it move. And it's on them. It's not on the players. It's been on them the entire time to do that. That rule was put in because to force the umpires to do their jobs. All right, what else do you have?
Well, this actually goes to the Flyers now. They're still continuing their hiring of the front office and everything as they change over under Danny Briere and Keith Jones. And it's one thing when you want to hire a guy like Danny Briere, a guy like Keith Jones to try to maybe change something up, even though they don't have a whole lot of experience. That's one thing. But this is turning into, oh, he was a really good player for the in the NHL. He was a really good player for us. Oh, he was a really good player for us. Let's hire him and see if he can do a good job here. He can do a great job because he did a No. There's players that can play the game, and there's players that can broadcast, and there's players that maybe can do front office, or they can do a combination of the three. But there's also some people that can just play the game well, or can just be a front office guy, or can just coach, or can just broadcast. So the Flyers need to be careful here with how many people they're bringing in just because they had a great career doesn't mean they're going to help you turn your organization around, which needs a lot of work done, by the way. Patrick Sharp, no experience. John LeClair, loved him as a player. He was my first favorite Flyers player growing up, but he has no experience at all. So this is another huge risk for Flyers fans to be going through here with this organization, and if this doesn't work again, then what do? Then you're really going to be in rock bottom. Because you've wasted all this time at a critical time for this organization to try and right the ship, and you hire a bunch of guys that have no experience whatsoever. Sure, they're names and they're fun to the franchise in the NHL, but if they have no experience and you don't win, it doesn't matter. The fans want to win and want to be back in the playoffs and want to get a Stanley Cup. So just remember that when you're making these hires, because you have nobody right now that has any experience whatsoever and already incompetent ownership with Comcast Spectacor.
Well, okay. When you're around somebody and you talk to them often enough, you get a feel for who has a good eye for the game or has a good eye for talent. And I think part of what, you know, with Keith, I mean, Keith Jones has talked with a number of people. He's a smart guy. We all know he's a smart guy. Okay. And I'm going to say he's probably hiring people that after talking with them and knowing them, feels like they have a good feel for the game, for personnel to do this. So I would be more willing to give them a break here Because I know in my profession, in what I do, there are certain people I can tell you right away that I think know exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it, and would then go on and would become, you know, there's certain people I've looked at and said, you know what? He understands personnel. I think he could be somebody that could be in the front office. That guy sounds great. I think he could be a potential analyst as an announcer. That guy over there can be a coach. Just by being around them and talking to them, you can pick up on that. I mean, in talking to Calvin Booth when he played, he knew all the scouting reports all the time. He had a really good handle on, you know, I'd ask him, what does this guy do? What does that guy do? Well, I've got to play him this side, you know, because he does this. I can block a shot going this way because that's his tendency. I mean, he understood all that. He knew players. He knew personnel. He knew fit. I knew Joe Crispin would be a coach. I'll tell you, there's a young guy that's not doing anything yet, but I think is going to be somebody that is going to be in the front office or can announce or can do it. It's Miles Dredd. You can tell when you're around people, Matt, like what they could possibly do. Doesn't mean they'll be, you know, doesn't mean it'll come to fruition, but you kind of look at them and say, you know, that guy, if that guy wanted to coach, I could see him getting into coaching. You know, see that guy right there? If he got into scouting, he'd know exactly what he was looking for. You know, there's so just in conversation sometimes you can tell some of that.
Oh, no, I think that's fair. And to be fair, two things. One, I've said before about Keith Jones that I think he is one of those guys that you look at just from seeing him as a broadcaster, that and especially after what Wayne Gretzky said about him on the post game of game 5, that he can be one of those guys that can be a good front office guy that has like that eye. So I think that's fine. I know for a fact that Danny Briere can do the job. I mean, one, I'd like the trade he just made with Ivan Provorov, getting a first-round pick back. But I kind of sensed that myself because I was fortunate enough to do some brief AHL coverage when I was a reporter in Lebanon and doing some stuff for the Hershey Bears, and I got a chance to be around them a little bit, and you can tell he has that. So I can kind of see that too, but still wasn't quite sure. So those two is fine, but I think it comes to a point where you need to still have some balance where, yeah, you can have some of these guys like a Keith Jones, like a Danny Briere, that you're taking a little bit of a risk with, but you think they have that eye with some guys that have some actual experience.
Mm-hmm.
I just think to have none at all is a little bit too much. I think this is a little bit too much the other way. But we'll see. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know anything about John LeClair as a front office guy. I don't know anything about Patrick Sharp as a front office guy. So I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But this is a major risk that the Flyers are taking.
50 years ago, Johnny Miller closed out the U.S. Open at Oakmont with a 63 to win the U.S. Open Championship. Today in the opening round of the U.S. Open, Ricky Fowler shot 62. 8 under par.
It's come out of nowhere.
Xander Schauffele has 2 holes to play. He's at 7 under. Scottie Scheffler is going to 18 at 4 under. Scheffler, by the way, bogeyed the first hole. But he's at 4 under par. Bryson DeChambeau's at 3. Wow. And the evening group hasn't even started yet. It's going to be on in prime time tonight. Look at DeChambeau. 3 under par, 67, making Liv look better by the shot, don't you think? No, you didn't want to hear that? Okay.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, Koepka hasn't even teed off yet. All right. Orioles won over the Jays 4-2. Phillies now lead 3-0, bottom of the third. Rays lead Oakland 2-0. That's in the bottom of the third. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK. John Sterling, Brad Sham. Guess what they have in common?
Yeah, no championships.
They both broadcast for their version of the Dallas Cowboys. Brad has the Cowboys, and John Sterling has the baseball Cowboys. I don't know John at all. Brad, I do know, and I personally like him in a lot and professionally think he's outstanding, but I like Brad a lot.
Well, Sterling does have 09. I don't know if Brad has any Super Bowls.
Oh, sure he does. Brad goes way back.
I mean, okay, all right.
They won Super Bowl. Brad goes way back.
He has been there. No. I know he's been there but I wasn't sure if it was that long.
Brad, Emmitt Smith broke the record. You know, he was on the call for that. Things like that.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The CDC says that one in five adults are depressed. Those are just Yankee fans. All right. What about the rest of the country? No?
Interesting question.
Yeah, the teams that play them in the playoffs end up happy. All right, so what? What?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That was easy. All right, next. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right. Your trail of hate. What's on the next?
And those are the two things that really got me going today. And the Flyers was even to some extent, but yeah, what happened in the Houston Nats game and the and what's going on with the Flyers now?
All right.
That's about it of what I've come across so far throughout the course of the day and previous night in the sports world.
All right. Okay. The Jimmy Trina of SI.com did an interview with Scott Van Pelt, who does late night Sports Center, and I see it once in a while. And Scott Van Pelt is never met him, never been around him. Even a Maryland game, never met him. But he's obviously, I think he's terrific as a pro's pro. Does a lot of things really, really well. And Trina asked him, he says, now what do you see yourself in 10 years, 5 years, 3? He's like, he says, are you going to do Sports Center in 10 years? He goes, no, no. Van Pelt's 57 now. He goes, 5 years? He goes, no. He says, 3? He says, nah. You know, what's interesting about that is he does, when's he on? Midnight?
11, usually. Or after a late night game that they have, depending on the night.
That's a tough spot to be in. Yeah, he's obviously terrific at it. Sports is, you're in the evening and he's sitting there and he's doing Sports Center after Monday Night Football and he's got everybody on every interview. He's doing Sports Center after the NBA Finals. He's got everybody on every interview. But there are two shifts in broadcasting that are really tough. One is doing morning radio, and I did that for 21 years, so my respect for Mark Lawrence is off the charts for everything he has accomplished in that morning spot. My running joke has always been, I always loved going in when it was snowing. And you get in there, and it's your job to go to work to tell everybody else to stay home. I'm like, great. I had to go to work. And it used to be that people would call the station that I was working at the time and would say, how bad is it out there? Can I make it into work? And I used to say, well, I made it, you know. And then I changed up. In the last few years, I'd say, well, if you have to ask, I said, I'd say no.
If you have to ask, no.
And the other one is doing the late night shift. See these people doing late night news, sports. I mean, like, it's their job. It's their chosen profession. But it changes your work-life balance. And you'll say, well, Steve, you do night games for baseball, basketball, and, of course, football. But I'm doing that, okay? There'll be a six-game homestand next week. I mean, they're on the road right now. I'm not doing baseball. Penn State football, I'll do a night game with West Virginia. I'll do a night game with Iowa. Then we'll see what other games come up along the way. You know, and there's travel back and forth. But that's one day a week. You know, basketball, for the most part, it's 1 or 2 days a week where I have an evening game. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a weekend game and it's in the afternoon, but I'm not doing it five nights a week. It's, you know, in the morning part I get, because I did that every day. I get back from Minnesota at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday night game and be there Thursday morning at 5:30 in the morning. Get 2 hours of sleep and, you know, get back at it. So the morning shift is just not an easy shift. And I'll tell you, if you pull Mark aside, I would be willing to say that Mark's tired every day.
Oh, yeah.
Except maybe Sunday. He's tired on Saturday because, you know, you're trying to catch up on all the sleep you probably missed during the week. But Mark's probably on the air. He's probably tired every day. Every day.
There's a reason why he calls coffee sweet nectar.
Right. Right. Because I know it's 21 years. Look, I was tired all the time. Tired all the time. Now let's go back to Van Pelt. Yeah, it's late at night, but like, there's probably stuff he has to do in the morning, whether it's something family related or what, you know, where he's still got to get up after working late at night. Now, at least he got moved from Bristol down to the D.C. area. But, I mean, the late night shift in this business is not easy for work-life balance either. So I can understand where he's coming from with that. And he says, hey, we'll just see what they say with the next contract and so forth. I mean, because he's not on the, I mean, he is far from being, his name is not going to come up when they start talking about what layoffs are going to happen. His name is not coming up. He's untouchable. But how long he wants to do it? He was telling Jimmy Trainee, he says, do I see myself doing this in 3 years? He goes, no. And I'm in a different spot. I mean, people have asked me about how much longer I want to go, and I said, I think I got at least 10 or 12 seasons left in me. I mean, I love the job that much. I'm having that much fun with my job. I think I felt like I just depressed the audience.
Oh, my almighty!
But if I feel the way I feel now, I mean, I could... I feel like I could do 10, 12 seasons. And then at that point, see what it's like on a year-by-year basis. But doing that, like doing what he does five nights a week, I don't think I could do it much longer if I were him either, because that's just not my... That's never been my bag. I had a choice. I was going to be hired as an anchor, as a sports anchor at Channel 10 in Altoona. I had a choice between doing Penn State basketball. And I just started as the third announcer on the football network. And doing and being an anchor on Channel, you know, sports anchor on Channel 10, I chose football, basketball. And I know to this day it was the right decision. I knew the day I made the decision was the right decision. There's not a single day I didn't know it was the right decision. Not a single day has gone by. I've known the entire time it was the right decision. And, yeah. So I have great respect for what he does. Great respect for what he does. Xander Schauffele has matched Ricky Fowler's 62 at the U.S. Open. Wow.
And he still has one hole to play.
No, he's done.
Oh, he's done now. Okay, that was last I checked. He was still on 17. Okay.
Right, it says, but it came through that he's done. He's done for the day. He's matched it.
Yeah, what a wild start.
Yeah. Now, it's a little different. I think Fowler and Schauffele, I believe, started on 10. So by doing well on the front nine, they assured themselves of great scores because the front nine's a little easier. It's a little easier. Yeah, good. No, Schauffele is done. Scottie Scheffler shot 3 under. Imagine shooting 3 under at the U.S. Open and you're 5 shots back. What? And these guys are all done. Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, Siwoo Kim, they all shot 67. Fowler and Schauffele shot 62. Yikes. So there you are. That's now some of the other guys haven't gone out yet. You know, only half the field's been out. Let's see who else here. Some guys aren't finished yet. Max Homa finished at 268. John Rahm, 169. Fine. Victor Hovland, 169. Let's see. Phil Mickelson's 1 under now playing 11. Keegan Bradley's 1 under playing 11. He and Mickelson are in the same grouping. Let's see. Adam Hadwin recently tackled on the green at the Canadian Open, shot 70. He was the guy they tackled. Sergio Garcia from LIV shot 70. Let's see. Padraig Harrington, who's in, he's in Mickelson's group. He's at even. A lot of guys are at even. Let's see. Anybody else here? Note. Now that Spieth and those guys haven't gone yet. I know Justin Thomas was struggling. Can't figure out why he doesn't play better in the U.S. Open. Justin Rose, 6 over par. Boy, that's a hard start for him. He shot 76. He'd been playing well. But that's a hard start. Justin Thomas shot 3 over 73. Tommy Fleetwood, 3 over 73. Yeah. Well. Morikawa, 71, 1 over. Morikawa has been having back problems. And sometimes when you're a guy that fades the ball, sometimes guys that fade it more often than not end up with a back problem here or there. Well, I don't know why, but in part because I don't fade the ball. I'm left-handed. I hit left to right. So I don't fade it. Yeah. And Matt Catrillo's master with the straight blade, the putter.
I try.
Phillies lead the Diamondbacks 5-4 top of the fourth. Rays lead the A's 3-0 bottom of the fourth. Orioles beat the Blue Jays 4-2, take 2 out of 3. Pirates and Cubs play tonight. Rockies Braves tonight. Angels Rangers tonight. Ohtani's pitching tonight. That's a good matchup. Nathan Eovaldi's 9-2 with a 2.49, and Ohtani's 5-2 with a 3.32. See, that's where Aaron Judge is better. You know, Aaron Judge's ERA is 0.
Oh, my almighty!
Maybe a bit deceptive. Guardians, Padres, Nationals, Astros, Tigers, Twins, all tonight. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One out, the pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, deep center field. Carroll going back, nearing the track. He's got room. He'll make the catch. Both runners are going to tag. Marsh will score, and the Phillies reclaim the lead on the sacrifice fly by Castellanos. It's 4-3, Phillies.
Castellanos had a good year. He's been very, very good for the Phillies. Fun watching the Phillies. They have a lot of guys that like know how to play, don't quit, don't give up on a play. So I think what game I watched last night where I just like walked away going, wow, no one knows how to play. Oh, that's right. It was the two New York teams. Yeah. Very impressive. Very impressive. Can't believe you'd call Rizzo and Stanton AAA players. I just think you're a little bitter.
They're the only three, four, I guess, left that were on the... That were...
Donaldson.
Oh, yeah, five. Sorry, five. Okay.
Pro, Trevino.
Eh, he's all right.
Well... Volpe, he's your guy.
Well, yeah, he's a rookie, but yeah.
Glaber? That's right, you don't like Glaber.
I think he just made another error, but yeah, he's got a good bat. But he's horrendous in the field.
In the outfield last night, he's the guy that actually backed up the play and made the throw and made it close. You gotta give him credit there. Come on.
I do, but he still can't field a ground ball consistently enough.
Bader?
I would love to call him major leaguer, but he's always on the IL, too. He just got back, and then he's back on the IL again. That's the problem.
Well, so's your star. What are you paying him?
Like yeah.
$8 billion, and he does more watching than playing. He is a professional observer.
I mean, if you, like Judge did on this, unlike the first time he was on the IL, this second time, if you get hurt making a great play, which he did against the Dodgers a couple weeks ago, then I can stomach that. But when you're like Stanton and you make a twinge every time that you swing the bat, well, then, yeah, I'm going to call you out for it. And I was never a fan of Stanton. I never wanted the Yankees to bring him in at the time. Thought it was a waste of 270-some million, whatever the heck he's getting paid now. I've never been a Stanton guy. And I've been in the minority of Yankee fans.
I mean, is he a dangerous hitter? Yeah, he's a dangerous hitter. But... And look, when he connects, I mean, his home runs, when he does connect, they're mammoth. And they're mammoth. I mean, that part's entertaining, but he doesn't have. I don't feel like he produces in big spots.
No, he's extremely inconsistent,
especially in the postseason.
Yeah,
and you know, late in the game, if he comes to the plate, it doesn't bother me when he's up late in the. If I'm on the opposing team, it does not bother me when he's sitting late in the game. I'm more bothered when Rizzo's at the plate late in the game.
All the reasons why, and he was like this with Miami too, all the reasons why I didn't want the Yankees to sign him at the time. Because at the time, the Yankees needed more pitching, and they decided to go for another bat, which they didn't need at the time. And Stanton really hasn't done a whole lot other than hit some fun home runs every once in a while. That's about it.
What are the Yankees hitting, though, as a team? They're like 232, right? It's not good.
No. I mean, and again, part of that is because you have guys in and out of the lineup, then you're bringing guys up and down from AAA. I mean, the whole... I can't give you one... I can maybe count a handful of times where the lineup has been consistently the same for back-to-back games. I mean, seriously. I think part of Volpe's problem, too, is he's being pulled all over the place in the lineup. I think he deserves to be in the leadoff spot. I think that's his number one spot. But he's hitting 8, he's hitting 9, he's hitting 6, he's hitting 7. I mean, you're asking a lot for a guy to stay in rhythm when he's in 5,000 different places in the lineup every night.
I don't think Boyer in the lineup makes any difference at all. I think it makes no difference. If you're playing every day and you're getting at-bats every day, that makes a difference. You're not out of rhythm when you're in the lineup every day. He's in the lineup every day. It's just what's happened to him. It happens to every young player. I got off to a great start, and guess what? They have a book on you. Uh-oh.